Hello, 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 and welcome to the Perfect Eyes Limited podcast. I'm Dr. Sabrina Shadesai, an aesthetic oculoplastic surgeon. For those of you joining for the first time, that's a recap. I operate on the eyelids and I rejuvenate and reconstruct eyelids, but I'm also an aesthetic practitioner and I restore the face and the neck and rejuvenate the face and neck. Now, today, I'm so excited for this podcast because I have an amazing chef and digital content creator, Ian Haste, who's joining this podcast and he's going to share his journey. And believe it or not, he is not even 4 weeks after an upper and lower lid blepharoplasty with me. And we're going to delve into the world of aesthetics and try to see the similarities between culinary expertise and the aesthetic world. So welcome, Ian, to the podcast.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for giving me your time. Can I just ask that what inspired you to become a chef and a digital content creator? Share your journey with us.
Okay, so a little bit my journey. My work is I'm a chef. I'm a presenter, which I absolutely love. But I started off, first of all, working in central London for an American software company for the best part of 15 years. But going back 25 years ago, I was a head chef. Realised I wasn't too into that industry, so I thought I'm going to go and work into a different career. Worked in London, and then when I met my lovely wife Nicola, we wanted to have kids, and she was working in LA. I thought, well, I'm going to give up my work in London because it was not practical for our kids. I'll work from home.
Oh, he's a keeper. This is a keeper.
Foolish, wasn't it? Really. And then, really, long story short, I then started doing cookery videos online. Jamie Oliver offered me a contract to be a part of his FoodTube network.
Ooh.
Because I knew I could cook and I knew I could present from my London work. And I thought I'd try and amalgamate the both together. And from there, it's gone to, yeah, love cooking and I love the channel.
Amazing. So how come you decided to undergo an upper and lower lid blepharoplasty? And what made you choose me?
Right. Okay. So it was always going to be you, first of all. Recommendations from, I think, a good 5 or 6 people. My wife's in the makeup industry, so she has a lot of background knowledge of the procedure. And she's face-to-face with a lot of people that have also had the procedure done. And your name came up several times. Oh. It just seemed like the best option. And why did I have it done? Interesting question, really. Over the last 4 to 5 years, I've definitely noticed them puffier in the morning. Thought it might be just to do having young kids and being tired, as we are as dads and parents. And then they would hang on a little bit longer in the day. Yeah. And then it got to the last 2 years wherein they just wouldn't go. Or they would go for a period of time and then they would generally look quite baggy. And it was one of those things where you think, okay, I'm getting into my later 40s. Let's just go and get it done. Just go and embrace it and just, you know.
And that's really brave to embrace it because I find most men shy away from it. And a lot of my male patients are so scared of the stigma of surgery or even talking about it. So first of all, I just want to say you're incredibly brave and I genuinely appreciate it because this gives hope to the other men out there because, you know, we need to be having this open, transparent conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, so I want to commend you for that, first of all. But I just wanted to ask you that, you know, you clearly had some fears too, because you saw me and then it was the better part of 9 months where you were thinking about whether you wanted to have surgery or no. So discuss those fears with me. What was holding you back?
So that was nothing to do with you or meeting you or anything like that. Sadly, a couple of years ago, I had a wrist injury and I had an operation done. And between me and you, the operation didn't go particularly well. And if I'd known it wasn't going to go well, I wouldn't have had it done in the first place.
Yes.
So in the back of my head, I always had this feeling of, what if I wake up and I've got different eyes?
Yeah.
It doesn't look right. I might look not like my usual self.
Yes.
And then I just had this feeling after looking at numerous videos of people that have had the procedure done that I couldn't see a single one, which was when I regret having this done. So that was when... it was 9 months, but that only felt like 3 months to me.
Yeah.
It really did. Where I just woke up one morning, I went to the gym and I looked in the mirror and I had the downlights that you have, which are always horrific for baggy eyes.
Yes.
My cap was slowly going further and further down my face. I thought, right, enough's enough. Let's just go and see you as soon as possible. And there we are. I think we were in the seat within a month, weren't we?
Yeah. But so I really want to talk about this because it's really interesting because, you know, I've been operating for 25 years. And one of the commonest things patients will come and tell me is that they're either hiding behind hats mm-hmm. and they hate the downlights. They say they notice their under eye hollows or their bags, particularly when they are looking at their reflection in the train or in a mirror where they have the lights coming from top, and it really throws a shadow and it shatters their self-confidence. So thank you for highlighting that, because the other thing is that you also said that when you go to the gym, that was really getting you down because you were looking after yourself. You were fit. You're a chef. You're into nutritious food.
Exactly.
So it's not like you were, you know, drinking, smoking, and those were poor lifestyle choices. You've always been somebody who's looked after their food, looked after their body with exercise, and yet you had the bags, and that was making you look tired, and that was, you know, robbing you of your self-confidence.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
I think I trained for an hour a day. I have done since my early 20s. Always kept myself physically fit, and I'm proud of my body, should I say? But I wasn't.
He's got a good body.
I trained really hard. And it just got to the stage where I'm just thinking, so it was even going to the car and pulling the car door handle. Your first reflection you see in the morning is, I see sad, baggy eyes. You don't see anything else. You don't see anything else that's good on the inside or outside. You just see this one thing. And as much as you say, or anyone says to you, I've never seen it on you before. Because even after this procedure, I've had people say, I've never noticed that before.
Yeah.
And I show them the picture of a before and after. And they're like, oh, okay, that must have got you down.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what it was like day to day. Was like, okay, just need to get this done and sorted.
Yeah. It's actually really interesting, because I know the first time you met me, you came with Nicola. And my impression, and you're so lovely, but my impression was you were petrified. You were really petrified. And I remember that initial consultation, we only concentrated on your lower eyelids because you were only worried about your eye bags. But then literally, I think maybe 2 months after that consult, you said to me, I also want to get my upper lids done. So what was going on? Like, what happened? You went from only discussing your lower lids to your upper lids. So what was going on there?
That's me in a nutshell, to be honest with you. So I think it's because my wife was mentioning it quite often.
Right.
That there's definitely a male situation where your back goes up and you're just like, I don't think it's that bad. I'll just hold on to it. It'll be fine. And then it got later on in the time scale. And the more and more I looked at these videos online, I just thought to myself, okay, let's just get them both done. And just, if you're going to go under, get both done.
Yeah.
And I saw the before and afters from people that only had the bottom half done. And lo and behold, a year later, what did they get done?
Yeah, the upper lids. That's true. So it's a sequential thing. They'll get one thing done. Sometimes it's a budget thing. Yeah. Sometimes it's a fear thing.
Of course.
And it's a little baby step. And you just, you know, decided to bite the bullet and go for board.
I just thought, okay, right, this needs to happen. And zero regrets. Better quality of life, really. Oh,
I'm so happy. But we come back to that. What I wanted to ask you is, how did you prepare yourself mentally for the procedure? Because I know there was anxiety there because you are on camera. And this is the other thing. Our lives are now so open and visible. How did you prepare mentally for the downtime and logistically for the downtime? Because you have two young kids and and Nicola have very busy lives.
Yeah. To be honest, it was quite easy, to be honest with you. Within my work industry, you could pencil out a certain amount of time to recover. But that recovery time was almost unnecessary. You know, within 2 to 3 days, I was pretty much functional, obviously being cautious with the children, anyone banging into you or anything like that. But it was really simple to really build yourself up for it, because you're just thinking that thing that you don't like is going to be gone.
Yes. So you focus on the end result, mm-hmm. not on the fear that's going to hold you back from getting the end result.
And I love the piece of paperwork that you put in there. On day 3, I think it is. Yes. Don't look at your eyes, purely because you instantly judge it, I suppose, don't you?
Yeah.
But that was fine for me.
Yeah, but I'm very cheeky. I said, don't judge my handiwork. Don't judge my... Because that's, you know, over the years I've learned that the most critical people become is, first of all, they have fear and anxiety on the day of surgery, but we can discuss that with you. But then they become critics and they look at the photograph from day one, and they expect the end result from day one, day two, day three. And then they're panicking, and then they go online and they Google every bad review, everybody else's work, and they get themselves deeper and deeper into a rabbit hole. So tell me, how were you feeling on the day of surgery?
I felt particularly, you were a very calming person, so that does help the situation a lot. And where you practice, you have your surgery, was a particularly nice environment.
Yes.
Called it more like a hotel.
Yes.
To be honest with you. So the whole thing was just simple. From arrival through to waking up at the end and going home was seamless. It really was.
Great. I'm going to share something with you. So I had a fracture in 2019. I have a metal plate in this cheekbone. And having never had anything done on my face, I underwent general anesthetic for the first time, and I had to trust my surgeon to go around my eye socket and put a metal plate in my face. And they went from my hairline and my mouth. And I remember what I went through, and I could only focus on the positive. I said to myself, I had the anxiety, as you would, because you can imagine I'm doing this, and I knew what was involved in the procedure because I'd done a craniofacial fellowship. And so I was like worried, because I could understand the risk much more than I would guess somebody who doesn't understand the risk, who's not doing this every day. But I was doing this every day for a living. But I just wanted to, and I tell my patients that after I went through that procedure, what helped me was focusing on the result and not the fear. And that's all, when I went through the procedure, that's what helped me, because it is a very tense time when you go in and you're getting that general anesthetic.
Yeah.
So, but thank you for sharing that. What would you sort of say, you know, what was your immediate post-op experience? Anything that surprised you?
I was surprised that I thought it would be really scratchy and painful. I really did.
Okay.
And it's really not that bad at all.
Okay.
There's obviously a little bit of uncomfortableness there when you blink, but it's nothing at all what you think it's going to be. And it was just nice to get back home and just rest and enjoy the healing process, really.
Okay, amazing. So let me explain to you why, the science behind why you get this scratchy sensation. So when we operate on the upper lids, we put a cut on the outside. When I operate on the lower lids, I tend to just do the cut on the inside or a scarless approach. For Ian, we also tightened just a little skin pinch on the outside. Now, the eyelids are like windscreen wipers. So every time you blink, and we blink 13 to 16 times a minute, it helps spread the tear film over the eye so that you're not aware of your eyes. We're not even aware when we blink. But when you have surgery, you will be aware of your blink. And you're aware of your blink for the better part of 3 months, because the new collagen that's being laid down in that scar tissue is tight, it feels firm, and then it suddenly stretches. And that period of collagen remodeling takes about 3 months. And Ian, is not even 4 weeks. You're 4 weeks on Monday, isn't that right?
Monday, yeah.
So you will feel that. You'll be aware of your eyes. You will feel that the vision is a little blurry. Maybe it's not as clear, that the eyes feel a little dry or sore, and lubricant drops help.
Massively.
Yeah. How did you prepare yourself for, because you have to sit, you know, you have to sleep propped up. How was that for you? Because a lot of my patients worry about that.
Yeah. So that was an interesting one for me. I moved myself to the back of the house, separate bedroom, away from the kids, away from the wife, which wasn't that bad, actually. It was quite nice. But I set it up so that I'm a front sleeper. So I'm literally arm under the pillow. The worst way you can sleep as a human being is arm underneath the pillow. And that is me down to an absolute nutshell. However, I set myself up with several pillows behind my back, two pillows either side, so I can't go anywhere. Because the biggest fear is you're going to rub your eyes and the eyes. And just prop myself up. And it was lovely, to be honest with you. I think it took me 3 of the nights to get used to that I could go to sleep like it, but then I wake up again at about 1 or 2 in the morning and think to myself, I really want to lay down.
Yeah.
I want to lay down properly.
Yeah.
But you just got used to it.
And how many days did you do that? For the first couple of days, or did you cheat?
I'm still...
Go on, tell me, you could tell me.
I'm
you
still
cheated.
Now.
No, you can sleep now.
I can sleep perfectly, but I've got used to now sleeping on my back.
Oh, okay, amazing. So you changed your sleep pattern.
Yeah, which is
okay,
brilliant.
Fabulous, fab. And then can I ask about the hair washing? Because that's the other thing people find, you know, we tell you to wash your hair the morning of the procedure.
Yep.
How did you cope with the hair washing situation?
I think as a male with shorter hair, it's probably a lot easier than having long hair. But that was fine. I just rested it over the back of a sink and then washed it like that.
Amazing. That's it.
Because you're not really doing anything, you're not getting sweaty or dirty anyway, are you? You're quite clinically clean.
Oh, sorry.
No, I found that really easy.
Okay, amazing. And cleaning the eyes, taking off the dressing, was there anything, did Nicola help you with this or?
So that's one of the things I will say, because as a patient, there's an instant fear straight away of taking these strips off because you feel like it's holding your eyes together. And
yes.
Day two, the strips came off and instantly the worry's just gone straight away.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
The whole taking off the dressing was easy as well.
Amazing. Let's talk about the healing process, because obviously I do give you a lot of information and I tend to tell you straight and show you a lot of photographs of healing and explain that basically whilst 80 to 90% of people heal very quickly, there are 10 or 20% of patients that are slow healers.
Yeah.
You're not a slow healer, so you're falling within that norm, but obviously we need to prepare everybody because some people expect it to look normal from day one. So how would you compare your healing process to sort of what you were expecting? What were you expecting?
So I expected big bruising, big black eyes, pain. And I was very, very lucky. I don't think it's particularly pain for anyone, but there was definitely an element of this. I'm going to have big bruised eyes.
Yes.
And I didn't have anything at all. In fact, I didn't get one bruise. However, a couple of weeks later, I noticed I had a slight bit of bruising.
Yes.
So it must just be a delayed response to it.
Yes.
But other than that, I was one of the lucky ones.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, because if you say a couple of weeks later, did you start exercising then? And did you notice it around that time?
I was doing more. But no, that could have been from just doing doing too much too early.
Okay. Which is... Yeah, because sometimes, you know, the veins, the blood vessels are a bit leaky. The cut is all hidden on the inside. So those linings take a little longer to heal. And oftentimes, if you start doing things very quickly, particularly in terms of physical exercise, you might get a little bit of a bruise and it's nothing to worry about. But anyway, my team is always on hand. We ask you to send photographs and make sure that I'm looking at it and you're not relying on Prof Google.
It's a photo a day for the first 4
yes,
days.
Yes, yeah. Excellent. Now, as somebody who's constantly in front of the camera, Ian, how does this procedure impact your confidence and your approach to your work?
Oh, it's massively changed. As I was saying to you pre this chat, going to the gym and then not wearing a cap and looking in the mirror and being happy with yourself is one of the best feelings ever. Bearing in mind, I've probably been looking at myself for the last 4 or 5 years and being slightly depressed about it.
Yes.
So yeah, huge amounts of confidence going from it. Definitely.
Okay, amazing. And then I know you, Nicola, posted it online. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you know, there are always people out there who can make this a vanity exercise and they can sort of be quite nasty about it. From what I saw, people were so positive. I was so surprised. The comments were like, oh, fantastic. Ian looks fantastic. Well done, Ian. Did you receive any sort of negative comments from other?
No. I think it was 365,000 views, give you an idea. And I didn't see a single negative comment or saying you didn't. There was a couple that said you didn't need to have it done, which I can, it's fine.
Yes.
Because they only see the best side of you.
Yes.
Looking the best on the camera.
Yes.
But other than that, I was outstanding with how many people that have had it done already that I would never know have had it done.
Yeah. It gave people a lot of courage to say, well, I had it done.
Exactly.
And I love the results.
Yep.
Or I had it done, but I had it done somewhere else. I didn't have such a good result.
Yep.
They were sharing their fears. And I think that's really important to actually start the conversation to discuss the risks, the benefits. They're different for... The risks are the same. Obviously, you need to choose your surgeon to minimize those
100%.
Risks. Yeah, but obviously the benefits are different for different people. And the downtime can be different for different people. Ian, because he was so careful with his nutrition and is physically fit and had a minimally invasive procedure by somebody who does this day in and day out, had a very quick recovery. So we just want to make sure that, you know, it's not just the surgeon's skill, but also you, how you heal. And you heal so well because you have looked after yourself and your body. And that's really important because we find that people who are diabetics or smokers don't heal so well. Or people who are drinking a lot, who are not following instructions, you know, and I call them cheating on your surgeon, you know, those people don't do well and they have really prolonged recovery.
Massively important as well.
Okay. Amazing. As a chef, presentation is key. in. Do you see any parallels between your artistry when you present food and my artistry with my surgery?
My food doesn't look as good as your artistry, to be honest with you.
No, I disagree.
If your knife skills are better.
Please follow Ian. Actually, Ian, I only can operate with... people think, oh, you must really cut vegetables well, or I might be a good seamstress. I need my scalpel and I need my monopoda cautery to do what I do.
Why do you think that is then? Because I could imagine you'd be like...
You don't want me to be anywhere near you in the kitchen because I don't do the fine chop.
Yeah.
It's a funny mode you go into as a surgeon. I think when I wear my scrubs, I think I'd probably be good in the kitchen if I wore my scrubs and I was given a scalpel, and then I would go, I would go into a different mode. But no, I don't enjoy chopping vegetables and doing, spending hours doing food. I could do that when I'm operating. So each one has our own passion.
Love it.
As a digital content creator and as a surgeon, what I've seen is that people's choice, they're very influenced by what they see on social media, on YouTube videos now. What's your take on this sort of way of finding your surgeon or your doctor?
Oh, dear, that's a tough one because it's a minefield out there on Google, isn't it? Let's face it, and YouTube.
Yes.
And they all say they're the best.
Yes.
That's the trouble, isn't it, really? And in fact, even on the post that we put up, which I don't know if you've read all, there's a lot of comments on there.
Yeah, I didn't.
There's a couple on there that kept saying, oh, you can get this done for so-and-so figure.
Yes.
And it's a lot lower, for instance.
Yes.
I was thinking, you can, but will you get the same results of what you just watched in this video?
Yes.
And that's the point, isn't it,
yes,
really?
Yes.
And I think it's really, for me, there was no way I was going to just go online and visit someone unless I had a bond with them or I've heard they're good.
Yes.
And I think that's really the most important thing of anything, is that I'd heard from a lot of people that you're the best, and you are
very
the best.
Kind.
And I knew that I could watch people that have had it done and see their experience as well. And for me, that was the most important thing.
So that's a really good way of understanding your choice. But for people out there who are just researching this, what would you say is really important? What should you be looking at when you're choosing your surgeon or you're choosing your aesthetic practitioner?
Well, first of all, you want to know that their results are going to be what you're looking at. So it's all very well. We've all done the thing where you go in with a piece of paper to a hairdresser.
Yes.
And you give them this curly haired picture, which you've got straight hair, for
yes.
instance. It's
yes.
never going to be the same. So it's likewise. If you're looking at a picture of someone's work, you want to make sure that you get into that person that's done that work.
Yes.
Not just finding a procedure and finding any willy-nilly to do it.
Yes.
And that's kind of the way I worked with it, really, was making sure that you watch as many videos and tutorials as possible so you know that you're going to get your desired end result, and make sure you have a bond with the person who's going to do it.
That's true.
Because you're putting yourself in their hands.
Exactly. So it's not only just doing the procedure, but it's the aftercare. You don't want to just go for the car salesman or woman.
Exactly.
You want to make sure that the aftercare, the skill is there.
Yeah.
And the aftercare service is there.
That's one of the best points you can make on this. The aftercare was next to no other. As in, I had someone that I could talk to. Someone I could send a picture to if I needed to. You're always going to be a little bit panicky because it's a new thing that you had done. It's on your face, so it's very visible. But the aftercare was perfect.
Amazing. And you know, this has evolved because I have a lot of patients who come to see me for a second opinion or who've had revision surgery. And they are quite shocked and surprised at the transparency of our system. So basically, our patients get photographed. Mm-hmm. Then you come in and I have a consultation with you showing you the photographs and discussing, so that you can understand your face. So I'm big into education, but then I also show you PowerPoint presentations of different patients showing you limitations.
Yep.
Not only the amazing results, but different timelines, but also the limitations of our results so that you're better prepared going into the procedure, especially to see what the dressing looks like. How did that feel when you first saw that unique dressing that I put on under the eye?
It didn't shock me at all, again, because of researched. I kind of knew what was going to happen in that situation. I think the one thing that I would have to say is you don't realise that when you first come round, obviously you've got something over your eyes.
Yes.
So your initial thought is, I can't see. Where is everyone?
Yes.
Luckily, Nick was there to hold my hand and things and explain. But other than that, within 10 minutes, you're not shocked by anything at all.
Okay.
Because everything feels, you're not in pain at all. Everything feels good. And nothing feels like it's going to come off. I know it sounds really funny, but because you're having your eyelid cut and then obviously stitched on, you think it's going to be this really strange feeling, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're just waking up.
Yeah. Do you know what I love the most when, on my surgical days? It's the fact that when I go in to see you after you've come out of recovery, because the going in, everybody's so anxious.
Yeah.
And I'm so aware of that journey, but it's the relief, the happiness,
yeah,
and the complete lack of anxiety when you see them after the surgery. Because the first thing people tell me is, I'm alive, if they've had a general anesthetic, or my vision is blurry, but I can see,
yep,
and that I'm alive, and that I haven't gone blind, you know, I haven't, like, you know, all these, which sound irrational to just say out aloud, but I feel very privileged that people feel comfortable enough to share with me their inner fears.
Yeah.
And they say this because they feel comfortable, but then they also say it after the surgery, saying, oh my God, I'm so happy that I don't have this.
It's the relief that it's done, yeah, as well, because you've done it. You've got over that barrier. It can only get better.
Yeah.
And you know that you're going to see results.
Exactly. Amazing. So if I gave you three words to describe your experience with me and my team,
mm-hmm,
you can use more than three. What would you say?
It would definitely be seamless from start to finish. It's been a wonderful, easygoing procedure. Plus, you're super likable. So it makes it a lot easier. And yeah, life-changing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely life-changing for me personally. Yeah, it feels like a new lease of life.
Okay.
It really does.
Excellent. So your experience was seamless?
Yep.
I'm likable, so that's great. And
it's life-changing.
And it was a life-changing experience. Oh, that's so special. Mm. Thank you so much, Ian.
Thank you.
And if you had to swap, knowing what you know about me, you met me 9.5 months ago, maybe 10 months ago. But, you know, Nicola's known me for much longer.
Yeah.
If you had to swap a day with me, what advice would you give me?
Oh, God, none.
Really?
No, none.
No, you've got to tell me to eat better and exercise more.
Okay, on personal life, dietary is paramount for us all. But I've not seen what you eat, so I don't know. You look healthy.
I look after my skin, so I feel my skin. But I also, everyone has a vice. My vice is sugar.
Is it? Chocolate?
Chocolate, dark chocolate with nuts. Oh, my God.
I really, Lindt?
No, I like Valrhona, and I like the Pier Marcolini chocolate.
That's fine.
And,
that's decent for you. Yeah, nuts are fine.
Not in the quantities I devoured. So, but we digress. Now, let me ask you one more question, Ian. What was the most surprising thing you learned about your eyelid surgery or aesthetics during this journey?
How easy it was going to be, a lot quicker further on, I would be thinking that I was going to have to write 4 to 5 weeks of my life off.
Okay.
Where in realistic terms, as long as you're working from home or you're sensible, first week.
Okay, amazing. Mm. And I also noticed a change in you, because I remember the first time when I saw you and I talked about laser resurfacing.
And my fear.
Yeah, but you were like, no. You were absolutely not having it. So it's also, you know, I talked about how you can improve the skin to maintain the results, because obviously with surgery and doing natural surgery, taking away too much skin is what can change you. Taking away too much fat is what can change you and can actually make you look hollow and look more old.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're working with natural treatments, we have to judiciously balance the surgical result with what the skin can do. And I always say skin is like Spanx. Mm-hmm. And if the elasticity is gone, it's time for you to change your knickers and get a pair of new knickers. And we can do that by just doing skin tightening treatments. Yeah. And I talked to you about the laser, and I remember how you were like, no. It's very interesting, because you've been sending me messages saying, oh, yeah. So go on, Ian, tell us what you're thinking about now in terms of laser coil around the eye.
I'm all for it.
They're all for it.
I'm going to do a complete circle on that one. I think it's because I was worried about having a surgery and then having to have laser surgery, that giving more downtime. But even from the lady I just spoke to prior to this podcast, I think it was 5 or 6 days.
Yeah.
And it's a no-brainer. She looked incredible, absolutely incredible. Yeah. So I want that.
Okay, lovely. So you can see the most interesting thing for me, you know, as a surgeon and as a doctor, is that once the patient has one successful procedure, which lives up to and beyond their expectations, and their fear has been addressed. They are very excited and happy to trust you with the rest of the journey.
That's exactly it, because the fear piece is outweighed by how quickly you're just like, oh, I look so much better.
Yes.
I'll definitely go for the next
year. Yeah. And also understanding that the person who is going to do the work on you is going to be mindful of the fact, you know, I'm very respectful of the fact that my patients want to look like themselves. They don't want to look like weird versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. They are dads, they're mums, they're granddads or, you know, grandmums, and or just busy people who just want to look better, age better, and they're looking after themselves from the inside and outside. And so I'm very respectful of that. And I'm very, very mindful to not make you look like a weird version of yourself, which is why the multiple photographs and the constant sort of going back to ground zero.
Yeah.
How did you look then, so that we work with those natural results and don't try to make you look like somebody you never looked
exactly
or wanted to look.
I wanted it to be a case of people to actually not bring it up or say, have you had anything done? And I saw my brother-in-law yesterday, who I haven't seen for 2 months.
Yeah.
He had no idea. He hadn't watched the video.
Okay.
No idea.
Amazing.
Whatsoever.
Somebody who hadn't watched the video.
Yeah.
It's always a family, isn't it?
Always the family.
It's always the family.
Always the family. And I explained to him what I had done, and he was literally like, oh, you would have no idea whatsoever. Then I showed him the pictures before and after. And he says,
yeah.
I can see why you had it done now.
Amazing. So for our listeners or viewers, if you had one piece of advice for people considering this procedure, what would it be?
I would say, rather than living days and days not being very happy with something that doesn't look right on you, is to go ahead and get it done and have zero fears in getting it done by the correct person. And it's been life-changing for me.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much, Ian, for sharing your journey. It's brave, bold. I'm really grateful that you have taken the time to embrace this evolution and discuss it, because you do understand that you are helping other men and women choose to change their lives, because you had a life-changing experience. And I love the positivity with which you've embraced this. I love your energy. I love Nicola's energy. So thank you for your trust.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support. It means a lot. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching this podcast. If you liked it, please like and subscribe. And if you have any questions, please send us the questions. And I look forward to be able to share more information and knowledge with you. Thank you so much for watching. Bye-bye.